Good evening. It's Monday, September 30th, 2019 at 5 p.m. This is a Utilities and Environment Committee meeting. Our primary topic of discussion is the water contract. Present are committee members Mary Westfall, Mark Fry, Sandy Hussman, Patrick Richardson. Also from City Council joining us tonight, Doug Haina, Mark Lutke, Katie Cappellini. And then from administration, we have Mayor Stow, Mr. Aller, and Mrs. Brining joining us. And we do have Brian McCann here in the audience. This is something that we have not had the opportunity to talk about together as an entire utilities committee, but we definitely have had lots of discussion on the water contract. You've all received an updated copy. We also received a memo highlighting some of the dramatic changes or some of the changes that we see in this contract. I know most of and perhaps all of our City Council members have taken the opportunity to take a look at the water treatment plant, and I would just say, speaking only on behalf of myself, I was happy that I had the opportunity to see it. I felt very good about what I viewed there and about the leadership's knowledge and vision for the future, and so that felt very good. Certainly, we are all aware that we've looked at other water resource opportunities. We've kind of had some preliminary studies, preliminary conversations with certainly looking at Monroe County and looking at the Detroit area and the Michigan aquifer, I'm sorry, the aquifer, Mishindo aquifer. So we're happy to see that Toledo, however, has presented a contract that seems to address the primary concerns. We're appreciative of Mayor Stow's leadership in helping to drive some of those things forward. And even in our tours, it sounds like there are some good conversations for redundancy going forward. So I think before we open up to dialogue from the committee members, I'm going to ask if perhaps Mrs. Brining and Mr. Aller could just do that high-level overview of the memo that you sent out of what the most significant changes are, and then I know Mr. Aller has some other pieces to share with us.
So, in the different needs and different parts of their agreement that just doesn't apply to everybody else. We have things in our agreement that just don't apply to everybody else. And so that was becoming pretty cumbersome. And so ultimately, all of the communities agreed, or at least the people that said that we would agree to bring back to their councils. We will have an agreement. It will be a Sylvania agreement with the city of Toledo, and all of the other communities will have a Maumee agreement with the city of Toledo and all of them. Some protection that was put into that, though, is that none of the wholesale rate, they can't mess with the wholesale rate structure so that Sylvania could get a better deal than Maumee, or Maumee could get a better deal than Sylvania. So that part of the equation is going to be the same no matter what. Especially in the case of Northwest Water and Sewer District, they have some situations, some economic development situations that lend them to be, they want to be able to work with the city of Toledo on some large manufacturing agreements. And, you know, entities that use over a million and a half gallons of water a day. So they needed that flexibility that, let's be frank, we were probably not going to be able to recruit something like that just because we don't have the other equipment. So those kinds of things were what was coming out. Our initial surcharge will remain at 75% of what the wholesale rate. But over an 8-year period, that will reduce down to zero. It will reduce by approximately 9% a year. And by the time we get to 2027, all of the suburban communities will be on the same rate. I'll show that to you in a little bit up here. Initially, there was a talk about the income tax sharing provisions being eliminated or done away with. Ultimately, those were, again, because of some language that's in some of the other communities' contracts, those were ultimately kept as part of this agreement. Now, they will only be in place until they are set to expire in the current agreement. So our revenue sharing agreement that we have will expire in 2028 with our existing agreement. The agreement that we have has only, sent just over $60,000 to the city of Toledo over an 11-year period. So that's just over $60,000.
All in the first couple of years.
Yeah, it was all in the early years.
And that actually reduced our water payments by our residents by over $440,000 in excessive surcharges. So even when we were paying, it was a good deal.
Leslie, do you want to take the section three of the water commission? Do you want me to keep on rolling and just correct it?
I'll take it. The Regional Water Commission was Toledo's response to what we had tried to accomplish under TAWA, establishing the Regional Water Commission. Toledo voters approved that as an amendment to their charter last November, and just provides that any community that's participating member in this agreement gets a seat at the table, and that the seat at the table is held by, in our case, it would be Kevin, and or his similar position in the other communities. So they're professional water plant managers, and they will be responsible for making recommendations to the to Toledo City Council, putting those recommendations on rates, capital improvements, really anything to do with the operation of the water plant to City Council. City Council then has, once the Regional Water Commission establishes or makes a recommendation, that goes on the Toledo City Council agenda. If they do not act within 45 days, those rates are deemed approved. So in probably a vast majority of the time, the Regional Water Commission will make the recommendation for the rate. It'll go to Toledo City Council as required, and they will likely just not act, and then they will be deemed approved. If they don't agree with the Regional Water Commission recommendation on rates, it requires a 3/4 majority of Toledo City Council members to override that recommendation. Anything you'd like to add?
No.
Okay.
Should they choose not to accept it and want to do something different, again, that the method of determining the wholesale rate and the retail rate that are expressed in the bid D and E, that though any rate changes have to be based on those exhibits. If they can't arbitrarily say we want to increase the wholesale rate 50% and keep the retail rate the way it's at, it has to be according to those established cost of service. Those exhibits are a cost of service that we're talking about from the very beginning. Service area, section 4, our service area will remain what it is today. Everybody's service area is essentially going to remain the same. There are some changes in the southern part of the system in the county, actually. Ours is going to remain the same just in the interest of time, in order to get this agreement done. We are in discussions to revise our service area so that it includes the area in the Sylvania King area that's already in the city. But fortunately, that area is in the county service area right now. But we are in discussions with the county. The city really doesn't care who serves it. So we're in discussions with the county to get that switched over so that it will be our service area.
And then we'd bill those folks?
We would do the bill and everything, yes. The wholesale rate and retail rate, that was obviously where a large part of the conversation took place. Exhibits D and E that are part of the agreement. We went line item by line item through the city of Toledo's utilities billing, utilities operations, water distribution, water treatment. We went through line item by line item several of their accounts. And I give Toledo credit because they opened their books. That was the first time that we had ever had access to that much information. We said on the billing side, you're collecting approximately 40% of the revenue that they collect from the water, so 40% is a fair number to use for that department. Water distribution, he said anything larger than a 16-inch will be considered transmission, anything smaller will be considered distribution. So that we came with approximately an 80-20 split on that.
What happens if we hit that?
If you hit that, then if there are some expansion needs or some piping needs in order to be able to supply that, supply us with a flow greater than that, then we will be on the hook to pay for at least some of those costs, perhaps all of them, depending on what those needs are.
Or that could lead to us needing to buy water from Lucas County to meet our needs, for example.
Connection points could be modified. I mean, there are a lot of things that could come into play. Maybe we draw some of our water off of the Alexis Road or from the Northwest Service Area of the county or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
The provision of not being able to commingle water, that is still in the agreement. There are some provisions in there, though, that except for the water emergency. So, if Toledo were to have another event where they're not able to provide water, if we're able to get water from another entity, we would be able to open up the valve, so to speak, and draw water and stay in service. So, but otherwise, on a day-to-day basis, we would not be able to do that. Now, that may come into play, and some of that language is we're down the road, but it could be very possible that Monroe County and the city of Sylvania, that our emergency redundant supply is the city of Monroe. And if that were to occur, we would have to draw water from that system on a periodic basis because you can't just let water sit in pipes for 20 years and not move it. So, but that would be part of the Regional Water Commission. That will be part of the redundant supply, is part of those discussions. And it may be that Monroe County, Sylvania's redundant supply is Monroe, perhaps Perrysburg's is Bowling Green, perhaps some of the other entities are the Mission to Lockwood. So those are the discussions that we still have to continue on how that works out. Toledo always, has a supply, continuous supply of water, but they endeavor to always supply it. Beyond the connection point, we're responsible for the water quality. And should there be water restrictions necessary that Toledo, about 8 years ago, we put water restrictions on our customers as far as water lawns and things of that nature. If Toledo has to do that, then all of the outlying communities agree to do the same. And then the most important part of that section is that the commission in Toledo will work towards to developing that redundant water supply. And that could be several different sources, or it could be a new intake and plant somewhere else in Toledo. But that is to be part of the discussions for the commission. Section 9 is just on, you can't, only the parties that are party to the agreement, you can't give somebody else the rights to your agreement. There can be amendments to the agreement, but that's the part that I talked about earlier. Determined there cannot be anything that impacts the wholesale rate or the common to all components and costs. That has to stay consistent. Nothing can happen in anybody's agreement that causes damage to another agreement. The city of Toledo and us couldn't decide to do something that causes damage to the Lucas County or Russell.
Before we do that,
yeah.
Don't we? I just thought of this stuff. Do we still supply water from our system to, was it the Dana test?
Yes.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And is that grandfathered in here? Or?
It will be part of our service.
Really?
The
oh, it'll be defined as part of our service area. So that Michigan, that little piece of Michigan will be part of our service area.
Correct.
Oh, that's a change, right?
That will be a change, because that was, in the old agreement, it was considered an accommodation act.
Right.
The way the new language is, it doesn't really fit that definition, but that will be part of our service area.
Okay, thank you, sorry.
All right, then sections 10 and 11 are, you know, mutual release and severability and challenges, those pretty, there didn't seem to be anything that gave any trouble or would require any explanation. Section 12, however, that's when we get into, the term of the agreement is 40 years, can be terminated early only if we agree to it, or if there's some material breach by the city of Toledo. The third provision in there, and this is where it sometimes got a little bit tricky, writing one kind of global agreement, but still trying to carve out specifics for each different community. That really applies, section B, the little three, is really just only applies to Monroe, and that's Monroe County. That's if the Michigan equivalent of the Ohio EPA imposes different drinking water quality standards, then they are allowed to get out of the agreement. Subsection C, Toledo may charge the wholesale rate plus 50% if water is supplied after the expiration or the termination date. So if we are negotiating, but it goes beyond the date, and they can always agree not to do that. I think if we're negotiating in good faith, they may not, but that provision is in there. If we terminate, subsection D is our continued responsibility for proportionate share of common to all outstanding debt. And this is the part that gets a little complicated. So if the common to all debt will always be included as part of the rate structure and the wholesale rate, that's included as a line item that will be permitted. But if there are some substantial improvements that have to be made in year 25, that is a 20-year bond, we agree, we decide in year 33, we are not going to renew. We have 5 years left of that remaining outstanding debt based on our usage. We would still be liable for that portion of the debt. However, in order to try to provide some protection to all of the contracting jurisdictions, what we tried to do, two things. Number one, we have to start negotiating the renewal or the extension or a new agreement, whatever the people who are here in 30 years decide that they want to do. Those discussions have to start and negotiations have to start in year 30. But we can alternatively, if the Regional Water Commission deems them necessary to start negotiating sooner, we can do it that, we can also do it at that point. So we tried to give also a little bit of lead time. So say we didn't want to have the negotiation starting in year 30 and then you have to give your notice not to renew in year 31, because we all know how long this has taken this time. So if in 3 years, you have 3 years from the start of negotiations to then any time from years 33 to year 40, you can give your notice that you're not going to renew.
Let me just say this. This. Okay, if 7 years from now.
Yes.
No, let's change it. If 15 years from now, mm-hmm. the collective decides to build a second water intake, we ought to renegotiate this and extend this at that time. Beyond, we don't ever want to be in a situation where we have a major bonding obligation in place at what could be the end of our term. Because that, I'm assuming whatever that, because as the way this reads, we pay cash the day we leave, and I don't think we could bond a debt like that that we don't have any asset to back it up. And plus, we'd be looking for a new water supply. So if 15 years from now, we decide, and I doubt any of us are, except maybe Patrick or Katie, will be on council at that time, but if 15 years from now, we do a second water source and include that big bond, at that point, we probably want to extend that, extend our agreement so that we're all in agreement that the water service will extend to the end of that bond period, which is 30-year bond period.
We've tried to look at those different alternative futures, and what you're saying is very true. If we're going to take on a large new debt, we want the water contract to stay in place for the reasonable expected life of that new entity.
Right.
But conversely, looking at it, if we find another water source, a Machindo or a City of Monroe or something, and we decide in 15 or 20 years we want to get out of this contract, first off, I don't think we have to pay off our debt all at once. It's being paid over time. We'd have to make our normal payments even though we weren't buying the water. But if you do the math, Sylvania's 3% of these improvements. We're starting at $500 million, $500 million, or $15 million of indebted debt. When we were talking about building our own water system, it was $200 or $300 million. You build that into that new bond issue to be able to do that. Now, I don't expect that to happen, but if for some reason Toledo's water rates became far above what rates are available someplace else, you can bite the bullet and go someplace else. But Toledo is still due. We are obligated to pay our percentage of the current debt, even though we own nothing at the end. But the numbers are so much smaller than if we were to build our own system, even smaller than if we were to build a water line to Monroe or Detroit or something like that. From a capital improvements bonding standpoint, we're in a much better position staying with Toledo.
No doubt about it.
But if they build another $500 million or $1 billion water treatment plant, it's got to be looked at again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really closely.
The only other provision in the agreement, I think, that Kevin and I wanted to point out is that, and Kevin already did mention this, if Toledo does enter into an agreement with another contracting jurisdiction at a rate lower than the wholesale rate provided for under our agreement, we get that lower rate.
Any questions? All right.
We wanted to absolutely show council the different scenarios that we had looked at and what they meant. So, as you can see, we for the city of Toledo, the rate that we have there for the water is the current rate for all of these numbers are per 1,000 gallons. So we're currently paying $5.75 per 1,000 gallons to the city of Toledo. The Machindo aquifer those numbers are from a study that was done this past year by Pogemeyer Design Group, and the debt that we would have paid to construct that system is, I use, they had several figures in there. The figure that I used there was assuming that the Northwest Water and Sewer District and the city of Perrysburg would not be part of that system. Northwest Water and Sewer District did inform us that they would not be part of the system. It didn't work for them. City of Perrysburg has never said that they would not be part of it. So I don't want to speak to them. From an operations standpoint, though, I think it's difficult for them to have remained with that system. So that's why I'm using that assumption. The cost of the water was $3, so our total cost per 1,000 gallons would be $7.33. City of Monroe, the cost of the water was actually very cheap. Also understand that these were administrative talks. I was talking with my equal at City Monroe, not their city council or anything, but based on other agreements that they had, and said our rate would be no more than their current rate. So that's the $2.65. The debt in order to construct that system, we would have had to have $8.33 per 1,000 gallons in order to cover the debt on that construction. These costs assumed that we were going to be building that system by ourselves. Monroe County, they have some language in their current agreement with the city's bill that was going to make it very difficult for them to not stay with the city in some manner. And so I did not anticipate that they would be part of the system at this time. Who knows what will happen down the road. So that total cost came $10.98 per 1,000 gallons. Our very first study that we did, the water costs, the production costs, and O&M costs were $2.65 for the water, and then our debt service was $12.92 per 1,000 gallons. So that came to a total cost of $15.57. The Great Lakes Water Authority, we received the construction costs for that project, and as you can see, the just to cover the debt was going to be over $19 for per 1,000 gallons. At that point, when we sat down with the consultant, we saw what the construction costs were going to be. We just put the brakes on. We told our consultant to just stop for now, and let's see what happens with the other discussions. So we didn't carry that through all the way to the end to get a final cost figure, but it obviously would have been in excess of $19. And their rate structure is very difficult. It's the further away you are, the more it is, and it's difficult to determine. So you can see our average residential customer in the city of Sylvania uses 5,500 gallons, so that's why I use that. That's the normal household in the city of Sylvania. And that's just, bear in mind also that that is just the cost of the water. That doesn't include the charges that we have for our administration and distribution. So you can see that we're, you know, 3160 for staying with the city, and then we go, you know, $40, $60, maybe $5 off on that. The 7,500 gallons is a figure that's what you'll see in a lot of the city's labor costs, because 7,500 gallons is what Ohio EPA uses as a guideline, so that if all communities are reporting the same thing, it's based on 7,500 gallons. So that's how that would be impacted.
Mr. Aller, this is really helpful, and we've talked about this a lot. It's the first time I think we've seen these numbers, so I think it's very helpful. I think if there's some other key points, I would value your sharing them with us, but I am a little nervous on the time. In case we have community residents come, I want to make sure we have enough time for our council members to ask questions of you. So if there's something else critical, please share that with us. Otherwise, I'd like to make sure we open up to questions from council members.
Mayor, if I may, though, Kevin, I don't think we've seen this before, correct? Could you email that graphic to each of us tonight or in the morning so that we have it? I think it's a very compelling piece of information that we can use to have conversation with our citizens about this. Maybe the best one-page explainer that I've seen.
Things may adjust, you know, because of inflation or see in 2020, we're on the high end, along with some other South Monroe and portions of Cook County. And then by the time we get up to 2027, we slide down a little bit and then come back up, and the other communities all are projecting upward until we're all the same rate.
Thank you. That's helpful information as well. Do council member, first of all, committee members have questions that you'd like to ask?
I had a couple of questions.
Yep.
I may. Going back to 7E, the maximum water volume, you know, just thinking about 40 years and what can happen, I'm just a little, I guess you can say, concerned. I mean, looking at if, you know, the population of the city expanded greatly and now there's 50,000 people, or if there's a city township merger 20 years down the road or something like that, and we have a need for more capacity, I wouldn't want to get hit with that. Have there been projections, or I guess how do we arrive at the 4.9?
Yeah, that 4.9 actually is a 20-year projection.
Okay.
So that's where we're projecting based on limited growth and things of that nature. I'm sorry, it's a 20-year. That's 40-year. I'm sorry. That is a 40-year projection of what a water demand would be. And that figure was actually taken out of our Fisher-Thompson study that they did off of our original study. If something like a merger or something like that were to take place, we'd have to set that down. That would be a different discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
I'd like to address that a little bit.
Though, too, the city with its current boundaries could never exceed that number. If it is, it's because of a township merger or large annexations, in which case we'd be taking capacity away from the Lucas County system and putting it into ours, and that would have to be negotiated, I guess. But there is logic to do it.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's it for me. Thank you.
Sorry, anything from you?
I can't. As much as I'd love to ask questions, I can't.
Oh, I think I can cut a conference. Okay. Very good.
I'm comfortable with the information that you gave us this evening. I had a couple of questions here, but you took care of that already. So, and I think Mr. Richardson's question was merited, and I'm happy with the information that I have. Thank you.
Other members of council, any questions? So I just want
to confirm that the other communities who have approved it, I know someone has, and I just can't recall who, and maybe more than one.
City of Malmö has approved it. Monroe County has approved it. And they're the only two communities that I'm aware of. Oh, Lucas County.
Yes.
Lucas County also. And of course, the city of
Toledo. Right. And the actual deadline on this, I know it was 60 days from the vote, but it's up 45.
From the date that the City Council
approved
it, and I believe they
approved
it in September.
October 18th
is the deadline. That's what I'm looking for. That's great. Mr. Mayor, anything from you that you'd like to add, any comments? I think you've certainly brought had immense leadership and input in this process, and I'd certainly think that council would benefit from your thoughts and remarks.
The contract is a result of the City of Toledo earnestly coming to the negotiating table and trying to find middle ground. When Mayor Kapsakavich first presented a contract in June of 2018, they used the Monroe County contract as the starting point, which was totally unacceptable, almost a laughable starting position. But because he felt that we did have other options, which Kevin put up on the board there, they were willing to negotiate. They did come and have constructive talks, which had not been the case for as long as I had been mayor. They would come to the table and not really listen, just assume we had no other options. So the negotiating strategy worked. There's one other item that I held up on bringing the mayors together to approve the contract until it was inserted in the contract, and both Kevin and Leslie went right over the top of it. It's on page 2, section 5A. I had asked Mayor Capsicavage on personal conversation, direct conversation, that I wanted an assurance, a line in the contract, that the wholesale rate or the suburban rate could never be more than the inside Toledo rate. And that did not appear in the contract for a long time. It took even 60 days after our second conversation about it for him to understand how important that was to me. And Kevin Tells has told me it's not important because of his other exhibits, that what can be in the water rate. But in one sentence in the contract, it now says that the cost of wholesale water shall always be less than the retail rate for water. That throws out any possibility of Toledo deciding to put surcharges back on the suburban communities and charge multiples of what their inside rate is, which is what they've been doing for 40 years. That puts in writing the current atmosphere of cooperation that we've seen the last year and a half, and you need that in a contract because all the players were changed, all the memories, all the institutional memories will go away. But that simple language that I can understand, that I don't need to go through an exhibit and the engineers to understand, says they can't do that. And if they do, we'll take it in front of a judge and we'll get it thrown out. So it comes down to the old statement that trust but verify, this contract, to the very best of our ability, does that. The third item I want to talk about is safety. And the Toledo Water Plant used to be a political run operation, and that's why it was allowed to deteriorate and funds put to different places and used for other programs in the city of Toledo. The exhibits that set the cost of water hopefully take care of that, but more so, we've taken all the politics out of the operation of the plant that we can. It's now going to be run by a water commission of utility directors, service directors, instead of being a political football just for the city of Toledo. I think this is a great step forward. It's a great step forward for the safety of water, for the fairness of water prices, for the opportunity of regional economic development, and for overall regional cooperation. This contract establishes the ground rules and the example for all of us to work together fairly and honestly for the safety and well-being of our residents. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for the comments. Mr. Allen and Mrs. Brining, is there anything, you know, I maybe cut you off a little bit there. Is there anything else you'd like to share, any other thoughts? Okay. In terms of our next steps for this decision process, the Utilities Committee, I don't think we're looking for any action tonight because we certainly want to get through our public meeting and have the opportunity to hear what any of our community citizens and residents have to say before we make any final decisions. But I think we've had the opportunity to do some thorough vetting of the opportunity that's before us, and I appreciate all the time that all of you have put in preparation for today, touring the plant, listening to many of the conversations over all of these many months and years, actually. And I'm very optimistic that we will come to a good decision and enough time to respond to the timeline that's been set. Any other business to come before the Utilities Committee? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All members in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This Utilities and Environment Committee meeting stands adjourned at 5:50. Thank you. Good.